The great Czech multiple Olympic champion Emil Zátopek was born exactly a century ago, on the 19th of September, 1922. Regarded by some as the greatest runner of all time, Zátopek is known for both unmatched determination and an affable nature. However, though he suffered after the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia, some feel that political missteps took the sheen off his reputation. I discuss the athletics great with Richard Asquith, author of Zátopek, Today We Die a Little. Obviously, Zátopek was a four-time Olympic champion, but several runners have won multiple golds. What for you is special about Emil Zátopek?
I think what was special about Emil Zátopek was not so much what he did, although his achievement was unique in getting the three distance golds at the Olympic, but how he did it. Running and sport for him was a vehicle for friendship and adventure, and you know, it was all about meeting people, interesting people, making friends with them, bringing people together. And the joy he brought to the sport, I think, really was why he was so loved at the time. And he could have won the same medals and set the same records, but without that personality, I think we would have forgotten him years ago, probably.
Of course, in Helsinki in 1952, he won the marathon in the Olympics. It was his first ever marathon. Is that the achievement that really sealed his reputation as a great runner?
I guess it sealed his legendary status in the sense that that completed his treble. I think the fact that he was running the marathon for the first time was just characteristic. You know, it was the sort of thing he would do. He was always doing crazy things. He tried things in training and tried things in racing that no one else had tried to run that fast at all before. He succeeded because he imagined it and believed it might be possible. And for him, it was always a question of why not? Let's give it a try.
He's obviously known for his ungainly looking running style. Clearly, though, he was doing something right. What made him such a good runner physically?
I think physically he didn't have natural speed. He didn't have the sort of unique genetic gift that people seem to have. I think it was simply that he trained himself to tolerate pain and discomfort and, you know, to embrace it cheerfully. And he developed this courage whereby, you know, if he was suffering, when he felt he couldn't keep going, he'd make himself go faster. It was always about the cheerful embracing of pain.
And were there any particular training methods that you think gave him an edge?
I think his use of high volume interval training. No one else had done that before. I think certainly among distance runners, his simple insight that, you know, running slowly teaches me to run slowly. If I want to run fast, I've got to practice running fast. And so although, you know, people had experimented with interval training at other distances before, it was him who just realized that if you want to run at world record standard, you have to practice running at world record standard.
You've already alluded to his smile that he ran with and his personality. But could you expand on that in terms of what kind of a man he was?
It's very hard to put a finger on what he was. I mean, I think, there was something childlike about him, something very innocent. But he also had this remarkable capacity, which oddly enough, I think he shares with the late queen, whose funeral is taking place on the same day as his centenary, of sort of bringing people together. And, you know, several athletes told me that if they were at a race meeting or, you know, a social occasion, if Zátopek was there, he became this focal point that brought people together. And that's why, again, I think the Helsinki Olympics, which were, you know, the first real Cold War Olympics, were, you know, utterly divided in two. And it was Zátopek who brought people together and made it such a united occasion.
I understand that he was basically able to train as a professional athlete, as a member of the Czech army, as a soldier. Was being in the Czechoslovak army a benefit to him in terms of his ability to prepare for races?
I suspect it probably was compared with many people. But I mean, as I think his English rival, Christopher Chataway, pointed out, if you were an Olympic, you know, potential Olympic medalist and you were working for a British, you know, a capitalist company, they would give you a lot of leeway to train. I mean, I think everyone in all cultures thought it would be great for their country to win a medal. So it wasn't that big a difference, but he certainly thought of it as a benefit.
September 19th is also the centenary of the birth of his wife, Dana Zatopkova, who herself, of course, was also an Olympic champion in javelin in Helsinki in 1952. How would you characterize their relationship?
I think it was tempestuous. It was very romantic, especially in the early days, but it was a long marriage. It wasn't as idyllic as it's sometimes painted. But I think they shared this great sense that life and also sport should be fun. They shared this very strong sense of hospitality. And, you know, they were always welcoming people into their homes together. And after Emil died, Dana remained, you know, the most generous and hospitable person you could possibly imagine.
I remember being around her at one occasion when they were announcing plans for an Olympic bid for Prague. And even though she was already, I guess, in her 80s at that time, she seemed like a very formidable lady. You spent time with her. How did you find her?
I thought she was great. I really liked her. I mean, it was really sad that she died in the middle of the pandemic and, you know, I couldn't even come to her funeral. She just had this great, a really positive approach to life. And you know, she was like a much younger person in that respect. And although, you know, it frustrated her that, you know, walking became difficult and her hearing deteriorated, but she always, you know, liked to joke. She always liked to sort of tell stories and cheer everyone up. And again, she had this quality, like Emil, of sort of bringing people together, just wanting people to be happy.
Zatopek was opposed to the Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia in 1968 and then kicked out of the Communist Party. But there's also another side of him politically. He was accused of signing an article in Rude Pravo in support of the execution of Milada Horáková. Also, there was a strange case involving him being falsely accused, along with others, of tricking Jan Palach into setting himself on fire. They took a communist MP who made that claim, his name was Willem Novy, to court. But then Zatopek withdrew the suit and apologised. How much do you think he let himself down politically at times?
He did let himself down at times, but I think he was in terribly difficult circumstances. And, you know, someone said to me when I first started to research my book, we didn't live in these times. It's not appropriate for us to judge people. I'm not sure really how much he knew about the Milada Horáková letter, but certainly with the Novy trial, he lost his nerve. I think he was put under a huge amount of pressure. The communist regime really cared about what he said and did because he was such a national icon. At the time of the Novy trial, I think he was terrified he'd be sent to prison for 20 years. And I think he said, I was prepared to go to the edge of the abyss, but not to jump into it. But also, I think after that, he very much regretted it. And that's the, you know, his reputation as an athlete was built on the idea of enduring everything and never cracking under pressure. And then suddenly under this political pressure, he cracked. And I think he, you know, regretted it ever afterwards.
Your book is entitled Today We Die a Little, The Rise and Fall of Emil Zatopek, Olympic Legend. How did he take the fall? When in the 70s he was forced to do menial jobs, he was also barred for a period from living in Prague.
I think he found it very hard. I think the period when he was barred from, well, he wasn't actually barred from living in Prague. He just had to be elsewhere because he couldn't get a job anywhere, and so he couldn't come back to Prague. I think that was certainly a period in which his marriage suffered. I think he had got very used to the idea that he could do anything and everyone loved him and all he had to do was go around spreading happiness. And then suddenly he was this controversial figure and he wasn't acknowledged and people sort of avoided him. Dana said, you know, it really wounded him. It hurt him deep in his soul. And he was never really quite the same confident person that he had been before that.
What about after 1989? What status did he have following the fall of communism, or did he make many public appearances or anything like that?
I don't think he made that many public appearances. He was rehabilitated officially, but, you know, he hadn't been a prominent dissident in recent years. I think the liberals felt that he'd let them down, just as the communists felt he'd let them down. And he had had this sort of loss of self-esteem and self-confidence. So I think he kept his head down. Someone told me that at the time of the Velvet Revolution, when everyone was gathering at Letna Plain and people were making speeches, and someone said to him, Emil, why don't you make a speech? And he said, no, my time is gone. It's someone else's world now. And I think he slightly felt that, you know, his time was gone, and he just, runners used to come and see him, and he was always very generous and hospitable. But in terms of being a public figure, I think he slightly kept his head down, and his health deteriorated relatively quickly after that.
Last year, here in the Czech Republic, David Ondrejček's biopic, simply entitled Zátopek, came out and brought fresh attention to Emil Zátopek. Have you seen the film?
Yeah, I have seen the film, yeah. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I think, you know, when you're a biographer, you always feel a bit uncomfortable with films that take liberties with the facts and change the dates and so forth. But I thought what it did really well was capture the characters of Emil and Dana. Václav Nožil's portrayal of Emil, I think, is, you know, just captures that sort of slightly crazy childlike quality. So I really enjoyed it, and I hope the film will, you know, eventually really reach the worldwide audience that it deserves.
And do you think that the portrayal of Zátopek in the film as being, it seemed to me, kind of willfully naive, is that accurate?
I don't. Was he willfully naive? Was he just actually naive? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that most people living under, you know, under the darkest years of communism probably thought at times that they needed to keep their heads down, as it were, and not go looking for trouble. Sometimes Emil did impulsive things, and, you know, look at the whole episode with Stanislav Jungwirth that's portrayed in the film. You know, that was a very brave and pretty stupid thing for him to do there. But I think at other times he thought about things and didn't act quite so rashly. You know, he had an ambiguous life.
Zátopek is extremely well known here in the Czech Republic today. I think he's really widely respected. You call him the greatest Olympic runner of all time. But I'm curious, is that view shared widely, I mean internationally?
There's lots of people, especially people of my generation, think that. Runner's World magazine, which is really the sort of biggest running magazine in the world, did a poll in 2013 when they basically tried to work out the greatest runner of all time over any distance. And they, by process of elimination, chose Emil Zátopek. More recently, they did a similar poll, I think about a year or so ago, and people chose, I know, maybe it was a different magazine did it, and people chose Usain Bolt. So, you know, there are rivals to the claim, especially if you're looking just at, in terms of medals and achievements. But as I say, I think what was really special about Emil was the way he revolutionized his sport, but he also, you know, encouraged people to see sport in a different way. And he left this legacy, which is really still alive today, of sport and running being seen as a vehicle for friendship.